He feels great. He looks great. He's on his way to victory. So with that said, here he is, good friend of Bernie and Sid, Congressman Lee Zeldin. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. It's great to be back with you guys.
It's great to have you back.
It is our pleasure, Congressman Zeldin. Congratulations, I should say, on your remission. I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, how you feeling? Give us an update on your medical status.
I feel real good, and this was something, November of 2020, you know, early detection is important. Anyone out there not feeling right, or even if you're feeling good, it's good to get annual checkups, routine blood work, which is what I did at the beginning of November 2020. A couple of counts weren't right. They sent me to an oncologist, hematologist. This all happened quickly where they were pretty sure it was CML, chronic myeloid leukemia. They sent me to somebody else for second opinion and confirmation. That's what I got. Started treatment right away, instantly, because I was getting blood tests once per week. My numbers were getting back to normal right away. It was like a magic bullet of treatment that they were giving me. And by the time I was deciding to announce for governor and when I got in this race, I was already in blood remission. And last Friday, I was up in Ontario County, and there's about 150, 175 people there. It's for the Ontario County Republican Committee Constitution Day dinner. The host, the chairwoman, she's been going through a couple of very rough months medically. So while I was speaking and presenting her with flowers and trying to lift her up, I figured I would share my story to try to give her a little bit more strength and inspiration. And that's why, on the spot, I shared a story last Friday night. Happy that I did for that sake of giving her a little bit more hope. But as far as me, I've been good, feel great. It never impacted any of my duties in Congress, the governor's run. I still serve in the Army Reserve. Everything all good. No impacts. Feeling great.
All right, good. Let's get that out of the way and talk about the real business at hand, because you are now healthy and feeling good, and that is the run for governor. I have to tell you, when we found out, Bernie and I, that Hochul was replacing Cuomo, yeah, we got it, the glass ceiling, first woman ever. We don't care about that. We don't care about gender. We don't care about race, first black, first woman. We want somebody who's going to do a good job. And we knew right away, this was Cuomo 2.0. Without killing 18,000 people, she's no better than Andrew Cuomo, and she has proven time and time again, day after day, that's exactly what she is. So if you thought the state was bad under Andrew Cuomo, it's going to be every bit as bad under this lady. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And every single moment since she's ascended, she is proving your point. First, she picks Brian Benjamin as lieutenant governor. He's not a champion of defund the police movement. He is the champion of the defund the police movement. And then, you know, extending the eviction moratorium and doing it with the three persons in the room and getting rid of gas-powered vehicles now. They want to do that a little over a decade from now, so they're advancing that. Signing less is more to release criminals back onto the streets. And then releasing almost 200 people from Rikers as some type of show of good faith to criminals, I think that what we're going to continue to see over the course of the next several months is every single opportunity Hochul can take in order to pander to the far left, because she wants to win a Democratic Party primary. You all see that video last weekend of, it was like a two-year-old getting dropped off at daycare.
Yes,
and
yes.
The mother's trying to get the mask on the kid, and the kid's fussing, but the mask is constantly snapping back into his face. It's like, what are we doing here? And you know, meanwhile, you know, while they want to be, you know, the mask police and sit, you know, on their ivory tower, we keep seeing the videos of them walking around schmoozing, no masks, and then the cameras go on, they put their masks on. You basically take, you know, millions of New Yorkers as idiots, and it's happening all across the country. And people are pissed, and we have to save the state. It's not going to happen if we continue to go with this one-party Democratic rule at every level in D.C., Albany, and New York City. Everything's going in the wrong direction. We need balance, and I want to do my part.
And I think you will. Congressman Lee Zeldin on the Bernie and Sid Show. So happy you're feeling great and got the fire in the belly. I love what I hear. And don't, yeah, the mask mandates for the toddlers is one of the more cruelest things you can imagine. But to your point, that it's happening in D.C. as well, the bigger picture, pandering to the radicals. The corporate media has moved on from the Afghanistan debacle, the Marines, the dead kids, the murdered Marines, I should say. No accountability, of course. The border crisis, I mean, no end in sight, a cognitively impaired president who just gets pushed around by the radical left, as you say, and there seems to be no recourse until at least 2022 and then January 2023 if we do win. I mean, what do you make of the big picture down in D.C., the disaster that is our federal government right now?
And I'm down in Washington, D.C. Right now. This week and next week, we have votes Monday through Friday. The big priority item, they're trying to get $5 trillion of new spending done. And some of these Democrats, they said the quiet part out loud, if they get this money, they look at it not as a ceiling but as a floor. They're going to wake up the next day trying to figure out how to spend trillions of dollars more. We need competency in government. But even worse than the examples where they are incompetent are the other examples where they know exactly what they're doing wrong, and they're doing it anyway. Now, with as you pointed out, with regards to the media coverage, I mean, people who are out there working right now, they're in their cars, they're driving to work, they're listening to you, they're going to have a long day. They're going to get home later on tonight, they're going to get caught up on the news, and there are so many different media outlets that if they tune in, they are actually getting dumbed down. If they do cover some of the news of the day, they're not even covering it accurately on purpose to hold water for people that they feel so invested in. But these are crises. Yep. What we see in Afghanistan is just scratching the surface of foreign policy, national security issues when other countries like North Korea, Iran, Russia, China, or terrorist groups like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, they all see a vulnerability in the White House. They all decide to push forward. That's why North Korea is test-firing long-range missiles again and restarting reactors, and Iran is enhancing uranium enrichment more than they were before, because they know that we don't have a government capable of pushing back. And you mentioned the border. And the border crisis, we see the videos, we see the pictures. This is caused by the policies, the statements of this president and his administration going back to their campaign. And it's only going to get worse until they actually confront it. What should happen today is that Joe Biden should wake up, go down to the border. We're not talking about 1,000 miles away from the problem, but actually going to where the issue is. Listen to the Border Patrol agents. Listen to the local community residents, the Texas officials, and then actually change your ways. Because what's currently happening right now is causing an issue that's going to get worse, and it's not just people, it's fentanyl. We're worried about the human trafficking, the labor trafficking, the sex trafficking, all these issues that Democrats say that they are concerned about, compassionate about, when they're in government at state capitals or in Washington, D.C. If you care about it, well, you need to get on board with strengthening this border, because right now it's opening up each day. And a lot of average Americans are pissed. November 8, 22, as you pointed out, is an opportunity. Flip the House of Representatives back blue to red. Flip the Senate. Let's have a balance of power, and then we'll deal with 24 when it comes around.
Congressman Lee Zeldin. So, you know, Lee, I took a drive this morning, early this morning, from Coney Island, Brooklyn, to the city with Curtis Sliwa. And we talked about how basically the media and other politicians have already anointed Eric Adams the winner. I mean, he even refers to himself as the mayor right in front of Bill de Blasio. It's hilarious. And on an anecdotal note, when I talk to people about your race, they go, listen, Zeldin, Giuliani, Astorino, they don't got a shot. The fact is, Democrats are going to win. And I know now, if I hear that, it tends to frustrate me because I love you. But if you hear that, you're running, it's got to really frustrate you. Give me something to fire back at these people when they say, guys like Zeldin, Republicans, they don't got a shot.
Oh, it's motivating, though, too. I mean, I just won 7 consecutive races in purple New York City suburban districts. 2010, I took out an incumbent state Senate Democrat. Between him and his father, they were there in that area for 30 years. 2014, took out an incumbent House Democrat. He was there for 12 years, 6 terms. I had a primary that year. They spent over $4 million against me. We won by over 20 points. Every time I've run for re-election in the House, Pelosi's spending 7-8 figures. And we are always beating back these challenges. So 7 consecutive wins. We're looking forward to next year, making it 8. We have vote goals in every single county in the state. We know how much we need to get in Suffolk, in Nassau, in New York City, and in Westchester, and everywhere else. It's a 62-county campaign. We have already been active campaigning in this city. I'll wake up one Saturday morning. I'll go speak to 700 Hispanic voters in the South Bronx. I'll get in my car. I'll drive to Flushing, Queens to talk to a big group of Asian Americans. And I'll tell you what, when I go to the reddest parts of this state, they are talking about the same exact issues as when I go to the bluest parts of this state. They're talking about crime and public safety, supporting law enforcement more, not less, repealing cashless bail, keeping qualified immunity. They care about their kids' education everywhere, lifting the caps on charters, tax credits for school choice, getting rid of critical race theory in every school in the state of New York. But these are just two examples. I'm telling you, it's wild in the darkest, most conservative counties of New York and the darkest, bluest, liberal cities in New York. They are all talking about the same issues, and we're on the right side of. So we started early, 19 months to the day before the election. We are taking nothing for granted. I was just last weekend in nine more counties, a four-day swing, and we're just going to keep working hard all day, every day. Losing is not an option. The stakes have never been higher, and pendulum swing. So I feel like November 8, 22, we not only can flip the House and the Senate in D.C., we also can flip the governorship here in New York. It needs to happen to save the state.
60 seconds ago, Congressman Lee Zeldin, Iraq war veteran on the Bernie and Sid Show, running for governor of New York. Congressman Zeldin, Sid mentioned Curtis versus Eric Adams, also the Jersey gubernatorial race coming up in November. But in Nassau County, where I live, where you grew up, you have a race. It's baby steps. It's small elections like that. Accountability. You mentioned no cash bail. The guy who wrote the no cash bail law and voted for it, Todd Kominsky, this guy has the gall to run for the Nassau County District Attorney's Office versus Ann Donnelly. Who are you supporting in that race, as if I don't know the answer?
Ann Donnelly. So Ann is fantastic. Ann Donnelly has experience working as a prosecutor for decades. She knows how to hit the ground running. She has experience with the office. We also have Bruce Blakeman running for county executive in Nassau. I remember 2009, the last time there was one-party Democratic rule. That's when Nassau flipped blue to red. That's when New Jersey governor flipped blue to red. Virginia governor flipped blue to red. This morning, the handicappers have just changed the Virginia governor race to toss-up. They said the Democrats were going to have it in the bag. They're not saying that anymore. But as you point out, the Nassau County DA's race, the Republican Party is putting up a fantastic candidate, Nan, and she's working hard. And as you point out, she's running against the person who helped write the cashless bail law, which has to be repealed in Albany. But we also need to have the right prosecutors in all 62 counties enforcing the laws that are on the books and supporting law enforcement more, not less, having their backs and making sure handcuffs are on criminals, not cops.
I just accepted a gig yesterday, Lee, for one of your fundraisers at the America First Warehouse in Ronkonkoma, New York, on October 24th. I'm going to be there pumping you up. So anything
nice
that we can do, Sid and Bernie, to help, I want to do.
That is so cool. I very much appreciate it. Yeah, the support has been fantastic. Looking forward to that event on the 24th. We actually, in our first 3 months of the campaign, we got on April 8th, July 11th was our first filing. We raised more than everybody else combined, including Cuomo and Hochul.
Wow.
We raised over $4 million in the first 3 months. We've just kept on going. We need to raise at least $35 to $50 million for the campaign, but so far, so good. Key number one is to show up. But on top of it, it's nice to also have the ability to get your message out there with TV, radio, digital, and mail. So we're running a full-blown campaign, and the resources put together on the 24th, they're all going to help, so thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, keep feeling good. You sound great. I know you look great. I saw you on TV not that long ago. So, Bernie and Sid, we love you. Wish you the best, and get out there and win.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
great
sir.
To have you, too.